Welcome into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. I want to bring in a really good friend of mine who's coming out of retirement of the Oregon Sports News Hall of Fame. He's been on hiatus for a while. Not really. He's been writing for a long time, but we haven't had him on the air for a while, and we're really excited to have him back. He's a fan favorite, definitely a favorite of mine. His name is Gareth Thornton. You've definitely seen him on everything in the Portland and Seattle area. Everybody that has a site, he's on it. He's all over the internet. He's all over the news. He's all over Facebook. He's all over the media. Just a great all-around guy. We're really excited to have him back. Garrett, how the heck are you doing?
I'm doing good, Casey. I don't think I could ever live up to that introduction, but
you already do, so don't worry about it. I appreciate it. It's the reality, not the expectation. It's just what you've already done. So it's like telling Michael Jordan's won six championships. It's not the expectation he'll win six more. It's just honoring that he already has.
I just got into a good argument the other day, Michael Jordan versus LeBron James. So I'm well versed and excited to ever have that argument when anybody wants to. So,
which just curious, and we'll have to plan a podcast episode between us and maybe another person on that. But which side did you take?
I'm on the LeBron James side.
Okay, gotcha.
So I grew up watching Michael Jordan and obviously idolizing him like any kid that played basketball. But
sure,
I'm on the LeBron James side, and that'd be a great podcast during the off season when there's nothing else to talk about.
let's pencil that in for a future episode, and we'll definitely do some pros and cons of that and see if we can battle it out. First of all, how's your spring been so far? I know it's early on, but it's been pretty wet and rainy here. But you got any good golf in, or got some water sports you're doing? I know you're a summer guy, but we're a couple months away from there. But how's your spring going?
It's been all right. I golfed for the first time yesterday. I mean, I think the Masters kind of gave me the bug, and then when I had a free afternoon, I got out and I played just nine holes, and
nice.
It was good. I mean, I keep looking at the 10-day forecast, and there's not a whole lot of hope coming up. So hopefully things turn around and we can get some good weather, because I got to get outside. I'm sick of being stuck inside. So.
Yeah, it was supposed to be pretty nice on Saturday. The script flipped there. Now we're going to all be stuck inside, but that's better because we got a big game coming up Saturday we got to be focused for. So
yep.
That'll segue us right into our first topic, and our only topic really is Blazers playoff basketball. First of all, congratulations to the Blazers. They won their division. They also clinched the third seed. If you missed it, they beat Utah on Wednesday night, and they are now officially the third seed in the playoffs. They will host New Orleans Pelicans. Well, at least they'll have home court advantage against them. They won't always host the whole thing, but more often than not. Game one this Saturday at 7:30 at the Moda Center. Garrett, first and foremost, how excited are you that they did end up with the third seed, and what can we expect in that game? Is that going to be a good, tight contest, or are the Blazers going to come out roaring? Will the Pelicans have the first fire in this series? What do we expect, and how excited are you?
I think the Portland fan base should be excited. I mean, a third seed, if you would have told any Blazer fan coming into the season that they'd get the third seed in the West, they would be completely satisfied with that. I mean, I remember when Damian was talking, when they were recruiting Carmelo Anthony last summer, Damian was quoted saying, if we got Carmelo Anthony, we'd be the third seed in the West. Well, the Blazers didn't make any huge changes, and they're the third seed in the West. And so that it's huge for the Blazers, and this matchup is, in my opinion, probably as good as it gets for the Blazers. I wrote about it on Oregon Sports News about a week back.
This is your second pick, right? You had OKC ranked above them, but this is the team you're hoping for if you couldn't get OKC.
Yep, I had OKC as the first pick, and then the Pelicans, and then Minnesota, Utah, and then San Antonio. And the reason I had San Antonio as the pick that I didn't want is just because of the ridiculous track record that Greg Popovich has in the first round. The Spurs have won 80% of their first round matchups the last two decades. So in 20 years, they've only lost four first round matchups. Now, that's going to be tested this year against the Warriors, but I just didn't want the Blazers to have that grinder of a matchup in the first round. But against the Pelicans, I think the Blazers match up well, especially without DeMarcus Cousins on the floor. with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, it would be a different story because the Blazers just don't have the bodies to guard two big guys that can shoot threes and get double-digit rebounds every game. So that would be an incredibly tough matchup for the Blazers, especially with Maurice Harkless hurt and with Ed Davis just coming off of that injury. But DeMarcus Cousins got hurt, and so we're looking at a matchup, in my opinion, that's Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and a bunch of people that a lot of people in the Portland fan base have never heard of. Where when you're playing against a team like the Warriors, it's four all-stars. You play against the Rockets, and it's three or four or five guys that the average fan has heard of. And so it'll be really interesting to see kind of the evolution of this series and who steps up for New Orleans. But I also think that there's going to be somebody that's going to step up for the Blazers, because Damian CJ, as we've seen the last couple weeks, if Damian and CJ have an off shooting night, somebody needs to step up. They didn't step up and they lost four games. So we'll see who that other guy is. Is it going to be Evan Turner? Is it going to be someone off the bench? I think that'll be a fun storyline to watch, because both teams need somebody to step up. But I do think that the Blazers have the advantage going into the series.
So game one, are you expecting Portland to come away with that one and set the tone for the series? Or is this one going to be really tight fought, nail biter, and anybody could take it?
Well, I mean, you hope the reason that you battle all season long for home court advantage is so you can come out and set the tone in a series. So the Blazers have gotten there. The 3-seed home court advantage is great. Huge accomplishments, but they got to put up or shut up Saturday night. And everyone talks about momentum, and I don't know that momentum is really that big of a deal to professional athletes. I totally believe in momentum when you're talking like high school and college sports, but these guys do it every day of the year, all year long, this is all they do. And so momentum is kind of a tricky thing, but if you were looking for who had the momentum coming into the series, I don't think you could really pinpoint either team, because New Orleans went in to that last game against San Antonio, and San Antonio wanted to win that game too for seeding reasons, and New Orleans beat them by 20. And then Portland goes into the game versus Utah, and they're battling for the Northwest Division title, home court advantage in the playoffs, and Portland is up by 20 most of the game. So both teams are coming off of huge performances the last night of the regular season. So I don't think either team has the momentum. I think the edge is that Portland is playing at home. The Moda Center is a great home court advantage. And I think the playoff atmosphere on Saturday night is going to be pretty special. So I would give the edge to the Blazers. I think Vegas has them as 6-point favorites, and I'd say that's in the right range. I think that it'll be a close game a lot of the time, but I do think the fourth quarter is owned by Damian Lillard, and I think he'll step up once again.
So looking at the season on the whole, you've got the Blazers were 28-13 at home, 21-20 on the road. You know, they went 29-22 in the first half, 20-11 in the second half. They only went 2-4 in the month of April. I mean, I know it's been a short month. We've only been a week and a half in. They've also had a rash of injuries. We think they're coming out of the other side of that. Lillard looks fresh. Mo Harkless is going to come back hopefully this week or next week. And you've already got Ed Davis back in the fold. So you've really got your full complement of players and rotation players. You've got Lillard, who was an all-star reserve, and he's definitely a top five MVP candidate. You talked earlier about how they exceeded your expectations. I mean, how far do they blow the roof off this? I mean, I know we talked about top three in the West, but are they potentially top three, top five league-wide if you rule in the Eastern Conference as well?
I mean, I don't necessarily know what to make of the Eastern Conference this year. I think that they're better than they've been in years past, especially with the emergence of teams like the 76ers and the Raptors, and Boston's young and talented, and they're missing a couple of their best players. So I have a hard time comparing East versus West. I think it's kind of apples and oranges. But when you're looking just at the Blazers in a vacuum, I definitely think that they've exceeded the expectations. You talk about Damian Lillard is an all-star reserve. Well, Damian Lillard, if Team Steph would have won that game, Damian probably would have been all-star MVP. He led his team in scoring, and he played a good game. And now the all-star game, it's it's a joke of a game, but just to see Damian go out and compete on that stage was pretty cool. And then we talk about MVP consideration. He's not going to win the MVP award, but what I'm looking at is, will Damian crack that next level, and is he going to be first team all NBA this year? And you look at the debate, is Steph Curry first team all NBA guard or Damian Lillard? Well, Damian Lillard played more games and was more consistent throughout the season. And so as more ballots come in, I've seen more and more Damian Lillard next to James Harden as first team all NBA. And that's when you are officially a super, superstar. And that's what Portland's been saying Damian's been since his rookie year when he won Rookie of the Year. But now the rest of the league's kind of coming around to see that. But I do think it's exceeded expectations. You look at guys like Zach Collins that has stepped up as the season's gone on. What can he become moving forward? You look at a guy like Ed Davis. Ed Davis has been a huge storyline for the Blazers this year, and he's basically forced them into signing him this summer. So I do think that it's exceeded expectations, and luckily for the Blazers, it's beyond just Damian and CJ. I think a lot of other guys on the roster have exceeded their expectations, and I think this team as a whole is in a good place going into the playoffs.
So you spoke a little bit about the Pelicans and that you think Portland will have the edge in this series. And you also mentioned that they split the season series. That was at home and on the road. So Portland lost one and won one in both ends. Obviously, Boogie Cousins going down is a huge detriment to this team, but they also got Mirotić and they have Rajon Rondo and Ryan Anderson. Or not Ryan Anderson, he's not there anymore. But they've got a really well-rounded roster. They don't really have any guys that jump off the page. But do you see any trouble coming from New Orleans? Can they steal a game or two in Portland? Or is this one where Portland's going to clean up at home and they'll win a game or two on the road and close out the series in five or six? Or how do you see this series going for Portland?
Well, I mean, I've seen people, Colin Coward's pick today was Portland in five. And I was kind of thinking Portland in five, but I'm just really hesitant because of how special Anthony Davis is. Like, he's a generational player. He's the best big man in the league. We saw what LeBron did 10 years ago in the Eastern Conference when he carried a team of nobodies to the finals. And I think Anthony Davis has that potential. If the Blazers don't find a way to rotate their defense, to double team, whatever Terry Stotts is going to throw at Anthony Davis, if the Blazers don't find a way to lessen that blow, they could drop a couple games just because of how special Anthony Davis is. But on the other side of the token, Damian Lillard's special too. Like, Damian Lillard is a superstar, like we just talked about, and he can take over a game and win you a game on the road or when you're down late or whatever the case might be. So I do think that superstar versus superstar, Anthony Davis versus Damian Lillard, it's a pretty even playing field. Obviously, they play completely separate positions, completely separate games, but it's positions 2 through 8 on the rest of the roster that I look at and I give Portland the edge. I just think that they're better. I think it's a more cohesive group in that next range of guys. Yeah, I like Nikola Mirotic. I wanted the Blazers to trade for him. I think he would have fit this group with his kind of stretch four mentality, but he's not been there very long. Like, I just look at their roster, and it's kind of been pieced together over the last 12 to 18 months, and I just don't see them having the solid game plan that they go into every game with that the Blazers do. The rotation for the Blazers is set. Now, there's the question mark about Mo Harkless and when he comes in and what he does. There's the emergence of Wade Baldwin as a defensive player, but the rotation's pretty set for the Blazers, and they've been there before. The Blazers have made the playoffs 5 years in a row, where the Pelicans, there's a lot of guys on that team that have very little or no playoff experience. So I think that those things kind of add up in the Blazers' favor. I do think that the Blazers win. I think that it'll be in five or six games. But I think the Blazers will take care of things at home. And then once they get to New Orleans, try and steal a game when they're down there.
So if you're a casual fan checking into this series, I mean, we know Portland fans are going to be all over this, as are the Pelican fans. Pelicans obviously want revenge over, or not necessarily revenge, but they want to win at least one playoff game. The last time they saw their team in the playoffs, they were swept by Golden State 3 years ago. Can Portland pull off the sweep in this one, or do you think the Pelicans will get at least one game?
I think Portland could sweep. I think they could. I just think Anthony Davis is special enough that he's not going to let that happen, that he's the type of guy that can take over a game. Even as a seven-footer, he could take over a game and win you, steal you one, or come back late, whatever the case might be. So I'm not predicting a sweep. I'd be shocked if it was a sweep, especially if the Blazers were coming in on the heels of their 13-game win streak when Harkless was healthy and everybody was healthy going. I think that they could sweep them. But the Blazers have kind of had a few hiccups the last few weeks. Harkless is still out. Ed Davis is just getting back into game form. And so I don't think that it will be a sweep. I think it'll be more competitive than that, but I do think the Blazers win it in the end.
So if you're watching this series, you have Davis, you have Mirotić, you have the big three of Portland in Nurkic and CJ and Damian, obviously. Who's your X factor for the two sides? I mean, with Portland, I would guess that's going to be Ed Davis and maybe even Shabazz Napier. With New Orleans, you're probably looking at Drew Holiday, maybe Rajon Rondo, even though those guys are pretty big names for them. Mirotić obviously could be the X factor, but who are the two guys, or the one guy from either squad that you're looking at saying that's the guy that's going to turn this series for that team if it's not a big name?
For the Blazers, I think it's Al-Farouq Aminu. I just think that he's going to be called on to defend Anthony Davis coming out of the gate. And I just think that Aminu, he has the athleticism. Sometimes he just gets lost on the defensive end of the court. He's a talented defender, but Anthony Davis is so talented. He can bring the ball up. He plays point guard for them at times. Like, he just offers so much more than a normal seven-footer does. So if Al-Farouq Aminu can do an above-average job defending Anthony Davis, meaning that they don't have to send a double team, they don't have to send help, that would be a huge thing for the Blazers. But when you look at what Anthony Davis has done to the Blazers this year, I think he averaged 32 points a game versus them. So it slowing down Anthony Davis is keeping him under 30. Like, if Al-Farouq Aminu could make sure that Anthony Davis averages 26 points a game in the series, I say the Blazers win in 4 or 5, and it goes pretty quick. But I think that he's the X factor on the defensive side of the floor. Anything that Aminu gives you on the offensive side of the floor is just bonus at this point. And then on the other side of the ball, on the Pelicans, I think that Drew Holiday is the guy. Since Boogie Cousins went down, I think Drew Holiday's averaging like 19 points a game, and he's been a floor general at times that this team really needs. And so I think it'll be interesting to see who's defending Drew Holiday, whether they put Evan Turner on him, who's a little longer, whether it's a combination of CJ and Dame. It'll be interesting, because when the Blazers have played New Orleans in the past, they've tried to hide Damian on like each one more, who's just kind of a spot-up shooter, doesn't move a lot on the offensive end of the floor, and that saved Damian's legs for the offensive side of the floor. Where Damian, the way that he's been defending this year, would probably be the best matchup on Drew Holiday, but do they want to put that kind of strain on Damian on the defensive side of the floor? So it'll be really interesting. I think that Drew Holiday and Al-Farouq Aminu are kind of the X factors on either team, but I think Drew Holiday's factor on the offensive end of the floor is going to be more important for New Orleans, and Aminu's defensive energy and effort is going to be more important for Portland.
So let's say Portland wins this series. What team or teams are you pulling for to come into the second round and face off with Portland? I mean, obviously we don't necessarily want to have to see Houston or Golden State, but is there another team that you're rooting for to get into the second round and hopefully Portland gets lined up with them?
I mean, the Western Conference is the Western Conference. I don't know what the best case scenario would be. I think that Portland got the best case scenario, or one of the best case scenarios, for the first round. And at this point, beggars can't really be choosers going into the second round. The Blazers beat the Rockets in the first round, 2014, and it had been like 14 years before then since they had advanced to the second round. So if you ask the Blazers, they'd all give you the coach talk. Oh, we're just trying to get through New Orleans. But I do think that that's got to be their mentality. They've just got to get through New Orleans because it's no gimme. But moving forward, I'm really curious of what the Warriors are going to look like. The Warriors laid an egg against the Jazz, lost by 40, with three All-Stars on the floor. Steph Curry's injury, there haven't been many updates, and Steve Kerr has been really hesitant to even say that he's going to play in the playoffs, period. And so I would love to see the Blazers match up against the Warriors for a couple reasons. The Warriors beat up on them in the past, in the playoffs, and I think the Blazers would like some revenge there. But Damian is just a more motivated player when he goes against his hometown team. And so I would love to see that matchup with or without Steph Curry, with a healthy Steph Curry or a hurt Steph Curry, whatever the case might be. That Warriors team just hasn't really been themselves this year because they've dealt with injuries all year with Kevin Durant, and Klay Thompson broke his hand, and it's been one thing after another with that team. But I would like to see a series between the Blazers and the Warriors to see how a healthy Blazers team would do against a hurt, banged-up Warriors team. But we'll see how that goes. The NBA playoffs, they stretch the schedule out so much. The second round's like 3 weeks away. So we've got a lot of talking to do before we get there.
Yeah, and even if some series goes short, you still have to wait that long, and that's where you kind of worry about, do your players get rusty, especially if they go in hot and just beat up the Pelicans. You don't want to have them just sitting on the pine in their living rooms wondering when they're going to play again, especially if like a Spurs-Warriors series goes to seven. I'm not sure that's great for Portland because then they'd be really rusty, but on the other hand, Warriors or the Spurs, whoever comes out alive, might be a little bit battered. But for a team like San Antonio or Golden State trying to get healthy players back, that could be what they need to have a nice long series to get people back in game shape and then move on to the second round and be even more competitive. Where do you stand on that? Is that something that you would root for Portland to have a fast first series and then sit for a while, or do you think they should try to stretch it out if they can?
It's that age-old debate, rest versus rust. And I have always been on the rest side of things. I think that when you look at how the Blazers have come out of the All-Star break the last few years, they're a different team. They're more motivated and more energized after the All-Star break. And that's when they get 4 or 5 days off. So I think that your team is better after a break. You've got a guy like Mo Harkless that's coming off a knee injury. You've got Ed Davis who's coming off an injury. Damian's been beat up with an ankle, and then he took that shot in the back last night. And so he's been beat up. I think if you can get these guys a couple – 3 or 4 days rest before a second series, I think that would be huge. So if the Blazers could wrap it up in 4 or 5, that'd be good for those guys that are kind of ailing and trying to come back from injuries.
And one last question for you, Garrett. What team would you be pulling for to come out of the West as the Western Conference champion if it can't be Portland?
It can't be Portland. I don't know. I have a hard time rooting for any teams in the Western Conference, but
is there an exciting matchup you'd want to watch, even if you're not pulling for that team necessarily?
I think the matchup in the Western Conference Finals that I'd like to see, if it doesn't involve the Blazers, would be the Rockets and the Warriors.
That'd be fun.
They'd shoot 100 three-pointers a game, and I think it would be really competitive. It'd be really chippy. I think those teams would really go at each other. And a lot of the other teams, like Minnesota wants to slow it down. Utah wants to slow it down, but the Warriors and the Rockets want to speed it up, shoot a ton of threes, and they play the same type of basketball. So I think that would be pretty entertaining to watch for hopefully 7 games.
I know it's only one game and it's Carmelo we're talking about, but he looked really sharp on Sunday this past week and playing against Houston in an OKC victory or Saturday. And you know, I don't know if that would last over a 7-game series, but I'd be really excited to see that in the next round if we could, if both teams advance.
Yeah, I mean, OKC, you never know what you're going to get out of those guys. There's a lot of star power on that team, and they've struggled this season, but playoffs is the second season. It's a whole new year. It's a whole everyone starts 0-0. You win four games or you go home. So I wouldn't doubt that Oklahoma City team, but that's a tough matchup with Utah. I wouldn't want to go against that defensive Utah team. They really grind things out. So that'll be a fun series to watch in the first round for sure.
Absolutely. Well, we're getting over 25-minute mark, so we got to get going because we believe in 30 minutes or less. So, Garrett, thanks again for joining tonight and really appreciate your time. And we'll definitely have to talk more next week and see how the Portland Trailblazers are doing. Hopefully they're already on their way to a sweep. If not, then at least very competitive in the series, and also how the rest of the West is doing and how that's shaping up. So thanks again for hanging out with us tonight and for being on the show. We really appreciate having you back. I know it's been a long time, but we know we're going to be really dialed in with you here in the near future with all the Blazers and NBA playoffs in general, and then also the NFL draft coming up later this month.
Yep, 2 weeks from yesterday, NFL draft starts, so
can't
that's
wait
pretty
to,
exciting.
Can't wait to see who Green Bay drafts to beat the Cowboys next year. That's my goal.
We'll see how things go. Well, it was good talking to you, Casey. Let's
you
do
too.
It again soon.
Sounds good, Garrett. All right. Well, this has been Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. Thanks for checking us out, and we'll see you next week.